this truth of my head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Kenyard Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Kenyard, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, we've talked about Helen Thomas in her comments. She has been a member of the White House press corps for half a century. She's covered 10 presidents. She is, just until this week, a columnist with the Hearst newspapers. And you've heard the quote. We're going to talk a little bit more about what she said. So let's start by listening to her quote.
Any comments on Israel? We're asking everybody today. Any comments?
Tell them to get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments?
Helen is one.
Remember, these people are occupied, and it's their land, not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews.
Germany.
You say the Jews go back to Poland and Germany.
And America and everywhere else.
Wow, Poland and Germany, where 6 million Jews were slaughtered. So that's Helen Thomas for a half a century. From when I was born, she has been part of the White House press corps. And until this week, also a columnist with the Hearst newspapers. So to help us talk through this and understand what had happened, we have on the line Randolph Hearst's granddaughter, Victoria Hearst. Victoria, welcome to Bob Kenyard Live.
Thank you so much, Bob, for having me. My grandfather was William Randolph Hearst, who started the whole media empire.
Then your father, not everyone knows this, and this is neat, Victoria, your father, Randolph Hearst, became a born-again Christian later in his life, and so you've got a great perspective. Maybe in a little bit we could talk about your life and your ministry as
a
Christian. But let's begin with Helen Thomas and what she said about Israel. This was a video camera that was for basically an internet program from Long Island, Rabbi Live. And
right.
She was asked at this event at the White House, which was there to honor Israel. And
yeah.
She made this strong, harshly anti-Semitic remark and was rebuked, condemned from all over the world. But I think you were one of the first to speak out. So
yeah, I've been living with this all weekend, actually. I saw it Friday night, and my blood pressure went up about 100 points.
Hmm.
And so I called our ministry's publicist, a woman, wonderful woman named Diane Rogers, the next day. And I said, Diane, I would like to talk to this Rabbi Nesanoff, who is the one who approached her saying, hi, look, there's the famous Helen Thomas. I think I'll go ask her what she thinks about Israel.
Mm.
And he found out. He had his son with him. His son is a minor. I'm not quite sure how old his son is. Maybe at least I'm sure he's 12 years older or older, a little older. And, so there is the rabbi with his son.
Mm.
Listening to this venom. And actually, the rabbi has put out the second half of that videoed interview, I hear, on his website today. It's Rabbi Live. I do not know exactly precisely the website address. I may have it here under my piles of stuff
right
around me. But anyway, I watched that Friday and was horrified, not only by what she said, but by the fact that she works for my family's company.
Right. So there's
which, of course, would make you go, oh, great. I really, we don't need this.
Yeah, there's a personal connection. And according to a CNN cameraman back earlier in 2002, Helen Thomas said, thank God for Hezbollah. And that's reported in The Washington Post now. It's no secret.
The woman needs Jesus. First of all, let's just establish that. The woman needs Jesus. And it's very sad. I mean, what an ugly, nasty, world she lives in her own head. But anyway, so I see this Friday. I called Diane Saturday. I said, I want to talk to the rabbi. And I got, she emailed him Saturday night. And he emailed her back saying that he would like to chat with me, and gave her the number, and I spoke to him Sunday late afternoon. And in the meantime, on Saturday, Diane got me in touch with David Capellian, who is one of the editors over at the website WorldNet Daily. And I gave David a statement, and he put it out. It went out on Monday morning on WorldNet Daily with the title, Hearst Heiress Demands Thomas Be Fired. So anyway, I talked to the rabbi Sunday late afternoon, and I said, what can I do for you? And he said, well, what I'd really like to do is have a personal face-to-face meeting with whoever's the head of the Hearst Corporation and sit down with them and tell them how I feel and how the Jewish community feels and help Hearst, you know, put out, you know, a statement that will, you know, help them to navigate through this firestorm of anger, not only against Helen, but then there were some people saying, well, you know, if the Hearst Corporation, her bosses must have known she was an anti-Semite, and not been too worried about it. And the Hearst family must then have also known and agreed with her. So my first mission in putting out a statement was to say, heck no, the Hearst family is not anti-Semitic. I've never heard anyone make an anti-Semitic remark who would agree with this woman. So I said to the rabbi, I understand what you want to do, and I will try and help you do that. So yesterday I spoke to Frank Benick, who is the CEO of the Hearst Corporation, and said, Rabbi Nesenoff would like to have a face-to-face meeting with you. And this was early Monday morning. It's probably about 10:20 in the morning, New York time, that I called him. And he was in a meeting with the gentleman who's the head of Hearst Newspapers. And what really bothered me also was, since Friday night, the Hearst Corporation had really not put out a statement. They put out one little namby-pamby, we don't agree with her, corporation, their staff don't agree with it, but that was it. And I didn't even know it had been put out. I heard about it Sunday. They'd given it to the Washington Post or something, you know, sort of oblique. And anyway, so Frank was basically told me, no, he didn't want to do that. So I called the rabbi back, and I gave the rabbi Frank's office number, and Rabbi Nesenoff called the office and couldn't get through and left a message, and no one returned his call. And so this morning, you know, today I spoke to my first cousin, George Hearst, who's chairman of the board, and he was not amenable either to him, you know, himself, to, you know, or Frank.
So, Victoria,
Rabbi Nesenoff.
Victoria, you're an heiress of the Hearst conglomerate, but you're not involved in the business in any way?
No, I don't work for the company. I'm not on the board. I'm not a trustee. I don't have anything to do with the company. I have an older sister who's on the board. But I did contact the company back in 2001. The Lord asked me to talk to the corporation about some of the things we print, especially in Cosmopolitan magazine. And God just kind of appointed me, you know, appointed me the messenger. And to make a long story short, I did talk with them about it and send them material saying what we're doing and some of the things we're printing are wrong. And there were some people on the board who agreed and others who didn't. And I basically got labeled a religious fanatic. And so,
well,
you know,
you're in good company.
God's got me doing my ministry, and
Victoria, you're in good company. The Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you.
Exactly. So, what makes us special?
Yeah, that's right. So, being a religious fanatic, I mean, it's better than being a fanatic over the Colorado Avalanche or something.
That's right. Praise the Lord. So, yeah. Anyway, I put out the more important news, the good news. But anyway, I just think it's really unfortunate that the company will not, it's not their fault about what this woman said, but I really feel, and in my heart, that they need to meet with the rabbi. He's the wounded party, and it would just be,
would be appropriate.
The right thing to do.
It would be appropriate. It'd be
a sign of
goodwill.
And they won't do it.
And it's not as though Helen Thomas was not known to have anti-Semitic leanings. And so this isn't just it's not as though someone would just blurt this out if it didn't come from the deep recesses of their heart.
Well, exactly. And that's what, you know, we know that's what Jesus said. What's in your heart comes out of your mouth.
Right.
And as you said, Helen has actually been known for making remarks, albeit, I suppose, not publicly. But certainly certain individuals who hung around her had an inkling of her anti-Semitism, poor woman. And it just comes out of ignorance. She doesn't know Jesus. She doesn't know the truth. And the truth will set you free.
Now, can
so
I ask you?
I would very much, I've made an attempt to get the executives at the Hearst Corp to do the right thing and meet with Rabbi Nesenoff and hear him out and come out and say to the worldwide Jewish community, we regret terribly what our employee said. We know it was very hurtful. We don't feel this way. And we apologize, and what can we do, you know, if anything, to, you know, help make this right?
Victoria, let me ask you, you host the Sunday morning radio show Praise Him.
Yes, and, I've got to call it right.
And you've got Praise Him Ministries, and by the way, we have something in common. You're involved with prison ministry. I've spent six months of my life doing that full time.
Okay.
But have you had any specific interaction with Israel, with the Jews? Of course, there are many Christian ministries that in different ways try to reach the Jews with the love of Jesus Christ. We have, my wife and I have had the opportunity to host tours to Israel on three occasions. We take a Bible tour to Israel. We produce the DVD called The Bible Tour of Israel.
Cool.
And so we encourage people, even during the height of one of the intifadas when no Christian tourists had been going to Israel, we brought a group of about 30 people, and our tour guide met us in tears, thanking us because so few people were willing to stand with Israel during that difficult time.
Oh, yeah. After 9/11, I went to Israel. As a matter of fact, just before, what was it, 2002, I went with Dr. Billy Brim, who's a wonderful woman of God, has a great ministry in Missouri called Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. But, yeah, after 9/11, I went to Israel, and there were people going, oh, aren't you afraid to fly? Aren't you scared to go? Aren't you scared something will happen?
Right.
And I said, look, as a Christian, I'm in a win-win situation. If I go to Israel and I get blown up or the Hamas sniper shoots me or whatever, you know, the plane goes down, I die, I go to heaven, I win.
Yeah.
If I come home safe, I win.
I win. My wife is smiling, Victoria, because she's in the studio audience. She, my wife, Cheryl, is never here ever, like once every 5 years. And she's smiling because we could relate because we were there in Israel. We were in, let's see, where were we? There was a bomb went off in a mall, a shopping mall, while we were in Jerusalem. And it was close enough for us to hear. And the same thing happened along the coast of the Sea of Galilee. And, of course, in Tiberias. And these are frightening things, of course.
Yeah, that's part when they were were taking rockets a couple of years ago from Hezbollah in Syria, yes? They must have.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were lobbing. Oh, Hezbollah, they're wonderful people.
Oh, yeah, and Helen Thomas said, thank God,
Israel,
thank God,
you know,
for Hezbollah. Right.
Oh, yeah, wonderful. Again, the woman needs Jesus. Hezbollah needs Jesus. You know, I'll tell you something. You're only done as far as salvation goes. You only lose out when you're dead. As long as you are alive, and even on your deathbed, you can accept Jesus Christ truly in your heart and be saved.
When there's life, there's hope.
Exactly. Jesus said there's only one sin that is unforgivable. And that's got to be, A, pretty hard to do, and you have to do it with full knowledge of what you're doing. And that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
And so even the criminal on the cross who was being crucified next to Jesus Christ, when he trusted in what God had revealed to him, Jesus Christ right there offering him life, and he humbled himself and trusted in Jesus Christ at that last moment. And Jesus said, assuredly, I say unto you today, you will be with me in paradise.
There you go.
So, yeah, so it's not too late for Helen Thomas.
No, as long as Helen lives and breathes, you know, God can send someone into her life, or she can run across, as many has happened to many people, she can be channel surfing on TV and come across, you know, a Christian program. Something can happen. The Lord Jesus Christ himself can speak to her. She can change. Again, we love the sinner, we hate the sin. And we're all sinners, and not one of us has a day when we get, you know, hit the sheets at night in our bed and go, wow, I made it the entire day without sinning.
Mm.
I don't think I've ever made a day like that. I'd like to.
You know, Victoria, yeah, praise God. As we become conformed to the image of his son, then that is the goal, of course, to live a holy life through Jesus Christ. But, Victoria, some people listening to what you've just said might think, well, wouldn't God be mean to keep Helen Thomas out of heaven, to have her live in hell just because she doesn't say a prayer? But this is all real. This isn't a drama on a stage. This mm-hmm. isn't a dress rehearsal. This is real. And right. the pain and suffering on earth is palpable. And if God were to say, okay, I'm so nice, everybody comes to heaven. It doesn't matter if they hate me. It doesn't matter if they hate mm-hmm. one another. It doesn't matter if they refuse to honor my son who died for them. I'm going to let everyone into heaven. Well, then heaven would be turned into hell.
Exactly. And see, that's, you know, that's the thing. The same people who say, well, I just believe everybody goes to heaven. Well, when you ask them, okay, you think everybody gets in, right? There's no hell, right? Okay, good. Let me ask you, is Adolf Hitler in heaven?
Hmm.
That always gives them pause.
They have a hard time with that because they recognize that if you hate others and you're willing to harm others, then yep. that would sort of take the veneer off of heaven.
Exactly.
It wouldn't quite look like heaven yeah. if people are there hating and harming one another.
Exactly. Adolf Hitler deliberately executed the plan to deliberately and with malice aforethought, murder at least 6 million Jews, probably more, not to mention the millions of Gentiles who died in World War II.
Right.
So are you telling me that a holy, loving God is going to welcome that man into a holy place and say, you know what, you know, that's okay, I love you, it's all right, there's no penalty.
Mm. Victoria.
And that's when, you know, people who don't know the Lord or they get into the whole New Age thing where there are no moral absolutes and God is, well, whoever or whatever you think he, she, or it is.
Right.
Or man is God.
Well, they don't even know if
good.
They don't even
need Jesus.
Victoria, they don't even know if they exist anymore.
Oh, I know. Well, they get into the Hindu thing. And I forget what it's called, where it's like everything around me is an illusion. And I got a cure for that.
That's called Maya. That's called Maya.
Maya. There you go. And see, if we're working on the theory of Maya and everything around you is an illusion, kid, I'll tell you what. Here's how we're going to test it. Don't pay your imaginary rent. Don't pay your imaginary parking or traffic ticket.
Yeah.
Right. And see how fast you wind up in the imaginary court.
See how that works for you.
Or the imaginary jail.
Well, Victoria, here in Colorado, we have something on the ballot for November called Amendment 62. It's a pro-life personhood amendment that the child in the womb is created in God's image and likeness,
mm-hmm.
and therefore it's wrong to kill that child. Children are innocent.
Right.
And so the co-sponsor of that amendment, Leslie Hanks from Colorado Right to Life, she is the one who saw your statement at WorldNet Daily Monday morning and woke me up and said, you've got to get Victoria on the air. This is so encouraging that the woman who, I like the way you said it, you're the one who reports the good news.
Mm-hmm.
You report the good news, and if you have a perspective that there is a God and we're not God, and he made us, and Jesus Christ became flesh, God the Son become flesh, and if we trust in him, we could have everlasting life, then we could see what Israel is doing, what the Palestinians are doing,
right.
what Hezbollah. We could see when people intentionally target women and children to kill
yep.
them, people who are not national governments, just individual operatives and private organizations trying to affect national foreign policy by targeting women and children, we know that that's evil, and it's not true that one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter, because freedom fighters don't create their own foreign policy and target children to kill them in order to bring about their own foreign policy.
Yeah, if you want to call somebody a heroic freedom fighter, then again, what Jesus said, look at the fruit of the tree. George Washington was a freedom fighter. Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, etc. They were freedom fighters. They waged a military battle against a nation, a military enemy. They did not go into towns and slaughter everybody or lob a cannonball into a church or, you know, somebody's house in order to terrorize a population who would then run to King George and say, please, 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 you know, let these people be free because they've killed my baby and they're slaughtering, you know, innocent people. And that's the definition of terror. They weren't terrorists. They were freedom fighters.
Victoria Hurst, a few years back, I debated a spokesman, a pro-Palestinian spokesman, and I pointed out that Palestinian textbooks used in their schools in the Gaza Strip, in the West Bank, they don't show Israel as a nation on the map. They just simply...
No, they don't. They don't even acknowledge that it has a right to exist or that it exists.
And this spokesman, he told me that I was out of date, I was wrong, and that had changed some years earlier. So what we did was we went ahead and purchased some brand new textbooks, Palestinian textbooks. We had them shipped over here, and sure enough, here are the maps of the Middle East, and there's no Israel.
I know. Don't you love it when you just bust somebody?
Yeah, yeah, you're exactly right. Because the truth, you know, it's fun to be on the side of truth. And
but see, here's the deal. We know that we're dealing with an evil. And no matter what truth you show them, Ahmadinejad, there was no Holocaust. No matter how many films you show
there
him,
was no Holocaust.
No matter how many Holocaust survivors you bring before him to testify and show him their tattoos, his mind is so depraved that he refuses to believe it because it doesn't fit his agenda. What did Paul say in Romans? That those who did not choose to keep the word of God in their hearts, that God gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done.
Well, and before World War II, there was a plan for a Berlin-Baghdad railroad, and Hitler published Mein Kampf in German and in Arabic.
Right, and there are Arab countries that still, you know, revere Mein Kampf and said Hitler had the right idea, which is actually interesting, too, because, you know, the white supremacist Aryan Nation and people like that in our country, the Klan, that's their same little mantra, Hitler had the right idea.
Right.
Although it was interesting because the other enemy in World War II, the Japanese, were also saying that they were the master race.
Mm.
So even if, God forbid, both of those nations had won and taken over the world,
they'd destroy one another. Yeah, they'd go after one another.
They would have to turn on each other because somebody's got to be the master race, right?
Right? That's right. Victoria, when we've gone to Israel, we go to the old city, we talk, we evangelize, we witness to Palestinians, and they actually have been taught that there never was a Jewish temple in Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah, and the imams preach it.
They think there never was a temple, and... the name Jerusalem, as far as I've checked, it doesn't even appear in the Quran as the name of the city.
No, the Arabs call it Al-Quds.
But in the Bible, it appears hundreds of times.
Right.
Palestine, as best I know, before Israel was granted permission from the world, as though they needed it, May 14th, 1948, to return to Israel or to establish a nation, there was no... Who was the king or the president of Palestine? There was no
Palestine,
such
there
person.
There was never, historically...
There was never
there
a
was
boundary?
Never,
there was never a border, right?
Right.
There, never a
there
constitution?
There was never an independent state.
No, they didn't have a currency.
Palestine.
Right.
Or a Palestinian people who were only Arab. It wasn't named Palestine till AD 70 by the Romans.
I don't even think...
And it was always somebody's occupied territory.
I don't even think that they could pronounce Palestine because they call it Palestine because they don't have a P in their alphabet.
Well, that's why the city of Nablus that we always hear about is actually the ancient biblical city of Shechem.
Hmm.
It's where Abraham, I think, you know, built one of his altars.
Oh, Shechem.
To the Lord.
I didn't realize that. But, you know, originally there were the Philistines, and they were coastal people in the Gaza Strip area. And the Roman Empire referred to, therefore, that whole part of the Middle East along the coast there as Palestine. They called that Palestine.
It's also called Judea and Samaria. Judea means the land of the Jews.
Right.
So, you know, again, the so-called West Bank is called the West Bank because it's the West Bank of the Jordan River. Jordan annexed it illegally after it was given to Israel. It's a big mess. It's after World War One. It's Long story. But that's why they had Jordan had half the city, the old city of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was divided for so long until 67. So anyway, that's the other thing, is the enemies of Israel, no matter where they are in the world, they always want to overlook, set aside, or deny history or facts that do not line up with their agenda.
Mm.
And the perfect example on the Islamic side is, well, there was never a Jewish temple on the Temple Mount. Now, clearly...
denying history in such a dramatic way is so startling. But, you know, sin pushes people toward absurdity.
Oh, it does. And again, it's all part, again, of being given over to the depraved mind. Hmm. A couple of years ago, I was watching Christian station. I don't know if it was 700 Club or somebody.
All right, we have 1 minute left, Victoria. Go ahead.
Anyway, so I'm watching them, and they're interviewing one of the imams from the Temple Mount, the Waqf, up on top of the Temple Mount. And the reporter says, and he's saying there was no Temple Mount up here, there was no temple. And he says, but here's the evidence and blah, blah, blah. And the history, you know, says that there was. And the imam looks at the reporter very calmly and says, well, you have your history and I have mine.
Hmm. Well, they have their history, right, which is fabricated. And, Victoria, no one was expecting Muhammad. There were no centuries of prophecies that Muhammad is going to come in Mecca and Medina. Whereas when Jesus Christ was born, there was an air of expectancy because of thousands of years of prophecies, even written prophecies, that he would be born in Bethlehem and the timing according to the book of Daniel, and how he would live his life and be crucified and be raised from the dead. And so praise God for the truth of his word and the fulfillment of prophecy. Victoria Hirst, we're out of time. Your ministry, praisehimministries.org, right?
Right.
Praisehimministries.org. I'm going to let Leslie Hanks know that we had a great talk.
Okay, thank you so much.
God bless you.
God bless you. I'd love to speak with you again.
We'll do it, Victoria Hirst.